Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been angry with God? Has God ever done something, or you felt that God has mistreated you or not answered a prayer in the way you thought they should, or something has happened in your life where you've been so angry with God because it's just not fair? How many times have we been there when we've lost a loved one far too soon and we've said, God, that's not fair? How many times have things gone wrong in our lives and we've blamed the Lord for it and said, God, this shouldn't be happening. Why has this illness come my way? Why has this difficulty come my way? Why has this happened in my life? I've done everything you've told me to do. I've followed your word. I've been obedient to your command. And yet things have still not gone right for me. And it's easy for us sometimes to get so angry with God that we forget the bigger picture. We forget the good that God has brought into our lives. We forget the good that God has done for us. And there's an instance in Jonah's life where he is so angry with God that he just basically wants to die. Can I ask the question tonight? Are you angry with God for something that's happened in your life? I just want us to look at tonight, I'm angry, but God. I'm angry, but God. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose that next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for this day. We're thankful for your word. And Father, we come before you tonight and just ask for your help. I'm sure there are many people here this evening that at some time in their walk with you have been angry in some way or the other because of a prayer that's not been answered, or a prayer that's been answered in a way that they don't think is in accordance with their purpose and plans. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to recognize that it does us no good whatsoever to be angry with you. You know the beginning from the end. You know the hairs on our head. You know our thoughts before we even think them. And Father, you know what we need and when we need it. And Lord, sometimes we don't recognize or realize that. Lord, we are frail when it comes to struggling with the hurt that this life throws at us. Father, in those moments, would you just help us to have the strength to rely upon you, to lean upon you, to trust in you, rather than to turn to the flesh and to be angry because of what's happened. Father, we recognize the fact that there's many situations and circumstances we can't change in this life. But what we can ask is that you would change our attitude, that you would help us in those difficulties, and that even through those difficulties, we might not only have a closer walk with you, we might not only feel your presence like we've never felt before, but even through those difficulties, we might be able to give you glory for it, that we might be able to see your hand in it, and that you might help us in those times when our strength is completely depleted. So, Father, as we look at this topic tonight, as we look at anger, at Jonah's anger towards you, may we be able to see that there are times in our lives where we are angry, but God. And we would ask that you would step in and help us in a time of need. For we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You could say that Jonah was a prophet on the run. In chapter 1, Jonah ran away from God. In chapter 2, he ran to God. In chapter 3, he ran with God. And in chapter 4, he ran against God. And we know the story of Jonah. We know initially Jonah refused to go to Nineveh. God had called him to go and preach to that city. He didn't want to go. The Assyrians were enemies of Israel. Jonah didn't want to go because he didn't want the Assyrians to be saved. He knew that God was a gracious God. And if Jonah went, that God could indeed save that city. And he didn't want a part of it. He wanted those people to suffer. Those people deserved to suffer. Those people didn't deserve God's grace. They didn't deserve salvation. So Jonah ran from God. God has a way of getting our attention. Jonah suffered shipwreck, was cast into the sea. God prepared a storm. God prepared a wind. God prepared a fish that swallowed up Jonah. God got Jonah to where God wanted Jonah to go in the first place. Jonah preached in Nineveh in 40 days and the city would be overthrown. The 41 would come. And the city was saved. They repented. They turned to the Lord and they were saved. So did Jonah rejoice? To the contrary, Jonah was fuming because the city was saved. We see his displeasure in verse 1. It displeased Jonah exceedingly and he was very angry. That phrase, very angry, means that he burned with anger. He was hopping mad at God because of what God had done. God did not kill the people of Nineveh. So Jonah was mad. Why? Was it the fact that he had egg on his face? Because he's the one that walked through the city and said, in 40 days, and this city is going to be overthrown. And the city wasn't overthrown. So did that, in effect, make Jonah a liar? In accordance with the Old Testament, if a prophecy didn't come true, then you weren't a prophet of God. So did that mean that Jonah wasn't a true prophet because that prophecy of the city being overthrown didn't come to pass? Jonah had said that the Ninevites would be overthrown, and that didn't happen. Maybe his fellow Jews would have been angry at him because he'd gone to the enemy. He'd gone into enemy territory, just like Christ did when he went to Samaria. He'd gone to enemy territory, and God's grace had been showered upon a people that simply didn't deserve it. Jonah hated the people of Nineveh. Nothing would have pleased Jonah more than sitting on that hill, watching that city as God rained down fire and brimstone upon it and destroyed every single soul inside. But before we get too hard on Jonah, we examine our own lives and look at how we respond when God does certain things in our lives. And I'm sure that each and every one of us at some point has been angry with God because of what happened in our lives. How many times have we reacted with anger because God did something that went against our plans? Because God didn't answer our prayer in the way that we thought our prayer should have been answered. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. How quickly do we get angry, not just at God, in everyday situations and circumstances when we don't get our own way? We're a stubborn type of people. And I'm not just talking about women. There's only a few times that I've seen Joe get angry. I've seen Jan get angry loads of times. But there's only a few times that I've seen Joe get angry. I tell you, it was a frightening thing. You see it in church, and she's all sweetness and light, and butter wouldn't melt in her mouth. But you cross her, let me tell you something. Jan's blood runs in her daughter. Definitely. Topher always said, never mess with a Watstone girl. And I would say to you now, never mess with the offspring of a Watstone girl. But we all get angry at times. When situations don't go our way. When the traffic light turns red and we're in a rush and the car in front of us is so slow and, you know, nobody else can drive when we're in a rush and we're the only person on the road that has any kind of sense when it comes to driving. But sometimes our anger can get the better of us. Sometimes we can react in situations and we can make things worse. You ever been angry against somebody without a cause because you thought they had aught against you? So you've gone into a situation and you've acted in a way towards them because you've thought, oh, they've got a problem with me, and you've been angry towards them, and they're like, what is going on? But anger can cause us to act in ways that we ought not to be acting in as believers. You know, you talk about seeing things through rose-tinted glasses. Sometimes we see things through a red mist. And then that alters the way we react to situations and circumstances. Jonah's anger wasn't justified. Jonah's anger was foolish. What was his complaint? He prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Jonah tells God he knew exactly what would happen. He knew if he went to Nineveh and preached to the people that they would be saved, and he didn't want that to happen. His anger ran so deeply that he took it out on the Lord. Can you imagine, just for a moment, what Jonah has seen up until this point? He has seen God move the elements to bring the wind. He's seen God move the ocean to cause that ship to wreck. He's seen God move a mighty sea creature to come and swallow up Jonah. He's seen God move that creature to put Jonah on the right beach at the right time in the right place. And you're really going to go up against God in an argument? How selfish Jonah is. I pray to thee, O Lord, wasn't it? That's my saying when I was yet in my country. Therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, a merciful, slow to anger. I. It's all about Jonah. It's not about how God has moved and saved an entire city. It's not about how God has moved in his great act of grace and kindness and love and mercy. Jonah is just thinking about himself. Nobody likes life and what it brings all the time. Life is not pleasant on times. Life is tough. Life can sometimes be cruel. We don't always understand why God brings certain situations into our lives. 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. But we can't always see that. And we don't always understand that. And we can't always comprehend why God would bring situations into our lives that we don't fully comprehend. And it hurts. But instead of us getting angry with God, the safest and sanest course of action is to submit to what God brings our way. Because that helps us to cope with what's happening in our lives. Jonah said in verse 3, his request is that, I beseech thee, my life, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah wasn't the first person who wanted God to take his life. Moses made a similar request, as did Elijah. And Elijah came down off Mount Carmel because Jezebel didn't even threaten Elijah directly. Just Elijah heard that Jezebel was after his life, and then he fled. And what did he say to God? Just let me die. Because Jonah didn't get his way, he wanted to give up. And I wonder how many people have given up even serving the Lord because they didn't get their prayer answered, because life didn't become this bed of roses they expected it to be, because there was a curve in the road, because there was a curveball thrown, because there was a difficulty that came our way. God has still got a purpose for us. And right now, we might not understand what that purpose is because we can't see that purpose because we're still so angry at God for what's happened. But he's still got a purpose for us. But how many people have dropped out of church? How many people have dropped out of the ministry? How many people have given up on God completely? I have seen countless lives of people who were once in the ministry, who once stood in the pulpit and preached the word, and something has happened in their lives that has caused them to not only go from stopping preaching the word, stopping being in church, but being more like the world than they ever were even before they were saved. So many people give up on God because things didn't go the way they thought they should have gone. Remember what Samuel said to Saul about obedience being better than sacrifice? God simply wants us to be obedient to us. We don't always understand why things happen to us. We need to get that through our heads. We are not always going to understand why a situation has happened, why a difficulty has come our way, why a curveball has been thrown, why something has happened that has really upset the apple cart in our lives. We're not always going to understand it. But God doesn't ask us to understand it. He simply says, look, I give you the strength you need to get through it. Jonah never demonstrates any real interest in the people of Nineveh. If God had destroyed the city, Jonah would have gone away a happy man. He says in verse 5, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and they made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow that he might see what would become of the city. He climbs the hill outside, sits on top of the hill, folds his arms and waits. Hoping that God changes his mind. Hoping that God destroys the city. Hoping that God brings down fire and brimstone like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah. Hoping that the Ninevites would be wiped out and destroyed. God had already said that he wasn't going to do that. But Jonah doesn't get his way about Nineveh. And he doesn't get his way about dying. So what does he do? He just sits there and pouts. That's normally our natural response when we don't get our way with God. When we don't get our way with anything, we pout. I really don't like not getting my way. I really struggle with not getting my own way at home. And I've learned that when Jo says, do whatever you want to do, she doesn't mean, do whatever you want to do. It's more like a dare, not permission. But we don't do it. If we were brutally honest, every single one of us would say, yeah, we don't like. How many of you have ever had an argument with somebody? And even halfway through the argument, you know that you're wrong. You know, do you know what this... I've started now, but I'm too committed. I can't back down. I can't admit that I'm wrong. I can't say, yeah, do you know what? I've made a complete mistake. Actually, you are the one who's in the right, and I'm completely wrong. We got to go for it. We're all in. Why? Because naturally, we are people who want our own way. And we don't like it when things don't go away, and we pout. Right, okay, we'll do that then, but I'm not going to be happy with it. If that's where you want to go, that's where we'll go. And I want to enjoy myself. Can we go there? Because it was your idea and it wasn't mine. And that's how we act with God sometimes. And we pout. Jonah didn't get his own way, so he pouted. He didn't get his own way about Nineveh. He didn't get his own way about asking God to die. He didn't get his own way, and God changed his mind, so he pouted. That's not a humble submission to the will of God. Let me tell you something. If we decide to go to war against God, and we're angry against him, and we start pouting, we're not going to win. I have never won an argument against my wife in my life. She just lets me make me think that I've won one or two, but I've not. I've not won a single argument. I remember Pastor Rex saying when he was doing our premarital course that when he and Jessica were getting married, that it was decided he was the head of the house, so he would make all the major decisions in the household. The woman, according to the Bible, being the weaker vessel, being submissive to the husband, would make all the minor decisions. And Rex said in all the years of his marriage, they'd never made a single major decision. Sometimes we pout with God because we haven't had our own way. And that doesn't mean that all the difficulties that come our way, we're happy with them. Like, hey, great, this is God's will for my life. Happy days. You know, God's will for Paul's life was shipwreck, stoning, beatings, literally on the verge of death. Now, we had a joy not because of all these things going wrong, but because of who God was. Now, we don't go, yay, a tragedy's come to my life. Woohoo! But we know God can get us through it. We know God can see us through it. We know God can give us the strength we need when we need it for the right time. So what was God's response to Jonah? There Jonah is, angry at God, pouting like a spoiled child because God hadn't given him what he wanted. So what was God's response? Doest thou well to be angry? A couple of years ago, I did a series on questions God asks. I love the questions God asks. Whether it's the questions he asked Adam in the garden or whether it's the question he asked Cain or whether it's the questions he asked Job. He said, doest thou well to be angry? The right answer, of course, is no. Jonah wasn't doing well to be angry. When you look at Jonah, he seems to be mad at the world. His anger is directed towards God. But God is big enough to handle our anger. And while Jonah isn't the only person in Scripture to be mad at God, it's certainly not the most healthy attitude to have towards the Lord. Jonah was mad at God because he was merciful. How could Jonah, of all people, be angry at God's mercy? Jonah had experienced the mercy of God. Jonah had experienced God's mercy when he was thrown into the sea, that by God's mercy, fish was prepared to swallow up Jonah. He should have died in the fish's belly, but it was God's mercy that he would keep Jonah. It was God's mercy that Jonah would be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, of what Christ would, and Christ would refer back to that point. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so would the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth, in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah had a second chance to serve God. Jonah had experienced God's mercy. But Jonah would rather die than accept the will of God. Jonah could have been a great hero for God. What Paul was in the New Testament, Jonah could have been in the Old Testament. Jonah could have been something incredible, but instead, because God's will didn't match up to Jonah's will, he was angry and was about to learn a hard lesson. I like object lessons. You know, sometimes when I've seen Pastor Ed do it quite a few times, and when he taught something, I always remember an object lesson Joe taught the kids with toothpaste. And, you know, she squeezed all this toothpaste out and then said to the kids, you know, this is like our words, you know, try and put the toothpaste back into the tube, and they couldn't do it. And she was saying that, you know, that's just like when you use harsh words to people, you can't take them back. I like object lessons. God is about to teach Jonah through an object lesson. The Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. The Lord extended grace to Jonah even when his heart was not right with God, even when Jonah was angry with God, even when Jonah was pouting with God. In God's grace, he still provided this gourd for Jonah to protect him. When we're mad at God, it's a pretty good sign that we have lost our perspective. Because we forget what God has done for us. and we focus on what's not gone right in our lives. So how did God help Jonah regain his perspective? We'll teach him a lesson. After he finished preaching, Jonah goes outside the city. He builds himself a booth to watch what he hopes would be the fireworks of Nineveh as God destroys it and it goes up in flames. And as we see, Nineveh doesn't go up in flames. But in the heat of the day, Jonah is sweating under the midday sun. And he is miserable as he sits watching the city. So God appoints a miraculous plant to grow and cover Jonah. Here, Jonah has a little shade from the blistering heat. The only time we are ever told in the four chapters that we have, the only time we're ever told that Jonah was happy was when that plant grew. When God put a call on Jonah's life, he wasn't happy, he ran to Tarshish. When the crew of the ship cast lots and it fell on Jonah, was Jonah happy then? No. When he was cast into the sea and saved by the fish, was he happy? No. When the fish spat him back out on dry land, was he happy? No. When Jonah went through the city and preached the message and God answered a prayer so that thousands were saved, was Jonah happy? No. Jonah was happy for this plant. You know, often sometimes I wonder what makes people happy. And you ever wonder if some people would ever be happy? You know, sometimes you think, it's going to take a lot to make that person smile. Sometimes people come into church and they fold their arms and go, right, bless me if you can. You had no chance. I've been in a few of those churches. I am angry, but God. God is about to teach Jonah a valuable lesson. But God. But God. Remember when we've been looking at but God, after that point, things change. But God prepared a worm. And when the morning rose the next day and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. God has been trying to get Jonah's attention. The Lord has been gentle with him up to this point. And now God says, right, okay, enough's enough. You know, there were times when we were growing up that dad's voice would change. And then you knew, oh, hang on, that's teacher voice. That's the voice he uses when he's in school. Things are about to get ugly. And God changes tact. You know, there are times we get angry with God, and it's as if God says, okay, vent. Get it out of your system. But I would not want God to be angry with me. Can you imagine when God's voice changes and says, right, child, time to listen. God has been gentle with Jonah and he's not paid attention to the Lord. So God now ceases his gentle approach. And we see that but God moment in Jonah's life. This is going to sting. This is going to hurt. This will burn and Jonah will desire to die. Jonah is going to have to learn the hard way. How much trouble could we eliminate from our life if we would listen to God's gentle pleadings? How much trouble could we eliminate from our lives if we simply were obedient to the word of God? If we listened to that still small voice? If we weren't stubborn? If we weren't so pouty all the time? How much pain could we be saved from? If we said, okay, Lord, I don't understand this. I'm not happy with this. But you're going to have to get me through it. If we didn't fight against the Lord all the time, could we receive his grace enough to get through the difficulty that we're facing? Because we get stubborn sometimes. Sometimes the Lord has to knock us down so that we listen. As Jonah is beginning to enjoy the vine, God sends a worm to destroy it. For one day, Jonah's happy. For one day, he enjoys the shade of that gourd plant. But because he treated his blessing so poorly, he lost them. And here's the thing. The goodness of God always leads to repentance. Jonah gets even angrier with God. And he's ready to die again. This time God sets the record straight. He reminds Jonah that he cared more about the vine than he did for the souls of the people. People made in the image of God. People who would have perished had Jonah not intervened. And we get upset with so many things. You know, we get upset with things, even with things that don't matter in the eternal scope of things. You know what type of prayers that have not been answered have we been mad at God for? And let's be honest, if those prayers weren't answered, they make no difference in the eternal state of things. You know, maybe we got angry with God because he didn't answer our prayer and give us that promotion. Who knows? What's to say that you having that promotion wouldn't have put you next to somebody in the office that was going to, you were going to end up having an extramarital affair with? You know, oftentimes, what we perceive as God just being a killjoy in our lives is God protecting us from what's further down the road. We don't see that. We don't see the beginning from the end. We get angry with God when we lose a loved one. But we don't know what would have happened further on down the road. We get angry with God when he doesn't answer prayers for stupid things. And the Lord says to us, doest thou well to be angry? The only thing that matters as we pass through this life is finding God's will. The only thing that matters in this life. You know, people are headed to a Christless hell every day, and we're worried about vines. We're worried about gourds. We're worried about things that have no eternal value whatsoever. Hebrews 13:21 says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in that you which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our priorities need to refocus so that we do what he wants us to do, so that his will is done in our lives. God says to Jonah again in verse 9, doest thou well to be angry? Let me listen. If God has to ask a question twice, I'm trying to get this quote right now, so I'm sure Jan used to say to the kids, to Joe and Matthew, hear me once, feel me twice. No? You give them a second chance in case they didn't hear you. So the third time, see, don't mess with the Watchstone girl. That explains a lot why George turned out the way. Oh, she was so innocent, she never had a row in her whole life. Whatever. If God has got to ask a question twice, that's not good. Two times, God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? God wants Jonah to see that his anger is not justified, that his priorities and his attitudes are wrong. He was angry because the city was spared. Now he's angry because the gourd was destroyed. He's angry over the gourd because things had become more important than people. In our text, Jonah had more pity for the vine than he had for the city of Nineveh. In our world today, things become more important than people. Souls are not valued anymore. People are not valued anymore. People just become like commodities. People are valuable. I know how valuable they are because God said that he died for their sins. That's how valuable souls are. But yet in the world today, we are more concerned with things than we are for people. Jonah was angry over the gourd because that had become his priority, because that was what was important in his life. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 3, addresses this and calls it carnality. That's what happens when we become controlled by our flesh. That's what happens when our old flesh nature comes back to the forefront. Because that's how we react. That's what comes to us first and foremost. That is when we become controlled by the flesh, that original human nature, rather than by the Spirit of God. Do we find ourselves becoming angrier quicker today? Yeah, I tell you one thing COVID has taught me over these past 2 years, people have just gotten more bitter and more angrier. It's bizarre. You know, I see people shouting at people in town. You know, and now if somebody hasn't got their mask on, or somebody has got their mask on, they're angry at people because they are wearing masks, they're angry at people because they're not wearing masks. The world's gone bonkers. People have forgotten what matters. Souls actually matter. People actually matter. Jonah felt justified in his anger. He said, it is right for me to be angry. Why? Because his feelings were controlling him. We can justify our anger because we say, I just want to vent. This is how I deal with things. This is my coping mechanism. But that's not how God wants us to react. God doesn't want us to react in that way because that's the flesh nature. Because that's what we naturally want to do. When something goes wrong in our lives, we want somebody to blame. We want somebody to lash out. We want to buy a pet so we can... Never mind. Don't go there. I remember one of the boys in work, and I said, I'm going to the pet shop to buy a cat. And I'm like, you're allergic to cats. Why are you going to the pet shop to buy a cat for? He said, I'm going to go so I can kick it. So you can't say things like that. I don't think he actually did it. At least I don't think he ever did it. Jonah was angry over the gourd because his comfort had become more important than his obedience to God. Jonah would rather sit in a cool shade and pout than get in the sun and obey the Lord. He was angry because he was out of touch. How incredible could, you know, you imagine that when God said to Abraham, right, I just want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees and I want you to get, into a place that I'll show you. I'm going to make of you a great nation. And Abraham's simple obedience to leave in Ur of the Chaldees, and it wasn't plain sailing. I understand that. He had to wait for his father to die before finally going into the promised land. And then, he had a trip to Egypt, which caused him some issues, and an issue with Hagar that caused him some issues. But his obedience to God brought blessings on the whole world. You imagine if Jonah had the same level of obedience to God, how different things could have been. You wonder, what city God would have moved Jonah to next. Could God have used Jonah to bring a worldwide revival at that time through the known world? We'll never know, because he failed at every hurdle that he came to. Jonah was out of touch with the things of God, with the heart of God. And what does God say to Jonah? He says in verse 10, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? God explains that Jonah cared more about the gourd that was there for a day and gone in a day. Jonah had done no labor to receive that blessing. Jonah hadn't worked for the blessings of the gourd. God closes out the book with a question, one of only, I think, two books in the Old Testament that closes with a question. Why shouldn't have I had compassion on Nineveh? So many children in Nineveh. So many people in Nineveh. God cares for people. How many of you have heard of a man by the name of John Dillinger? John Dillinger in the 1930s hit the FBI's most wanted list. But when he was a boy, he was arrested for a minor crime and placed on probation. His mum and dad sent him to Sunday school. And there, the parents complained because they didn't want their children being in the same class as this troublesome boy. John Dillinger never went to Sunday school again, and within a few years was the most notorious criminal in the United States of America. What would have happened if that church had invested in that young boy? What would have happened if they had invested to the point that that young boy was saved and went on serving the Lord? See, all scripture is given to us so that we can learn from it. Do we get angry with the Lord? Yeah, it's natural because that's what our flesh wants to do. Sometimes there is no one else to blame for a situation, so we blame God. But scripture is there to challenge us. Scripture is there for God to ask us challenging questions. And sometimes the Lord comes to us and says, child, doest thou well to be angry? We are angry with God on times. I'm angry, but God. Sometimes God sends a little worm into our lives just to give us a reminder of what's truly important, of what truly matters. Jonah didn't care about the eternal destiny of the people of Nineveh. All he cared about was his reputation and his comfort. We're not always going to understand why things come our way. We're not always going to understand why certain situations happen to us, why we go through certain trials, certain tribulations. We're not always going to understand that. But what I do know is God is going to get us through everything we face in life. And we can either be angry with him, and we can either pout with him, and we can argue with him. But let me tell you something, that's an argument we're not going to win. Or we can submit to his will. But God. And say, okay, God, I don't like this. I don't understand this. And if this is your will for my life, you are going to have to get me through this. You're going to have to give me the strength that I need to face this situation. Because it hurts. If we would simply be willing and we would allow God's will to be done in our lives, then God could use us in far more ways than is ever possible when we are stubborn, angry, and pouted. We're not going to win that argument. Are you angry with God tonight? There's been times where I've been angry with God. But he's proved himself over and over and over again. He doesn't need to prove himself to somebody like me. But he has. And if you find yourself in that position right now, maybe God's about to send a little worm into your life just to remind you of what truly is important. Maybe you're angry with God tonight, but God has prepared something to simply get your mind focused back on him so he can get you through what it is you are facing right now. Because being angry won't help, but God can. Father, we thank you again for this day, for this time together. Sometimes, Lord, it's a comfort to realize that others are going through exactly the same feelings as us. Sometimes it's a comfort to realize that we're not the only ones who feel this way when things don't go right in our lives. Father, that doesn't make our reaction right just because somebody else has gone through the same thing and reacted in the same way. Father, you know the hearts of each and every person here tonight. You know those who are struggling. You know those who are hurt. You know those who, even right now, feel angry towards you because of something that's happened in their lives. But God, we need a but God moment right now. And we would just ask that you would help us, Lord. Help us to realize that you can get us through these difficulties, that you can get us through these trials, that you can get us through this hurt. Father, I'm thankful that we never face these trials alone. David could only walk through that valley because you were with him. Father, I just pray that you would continue to be that light in a dark valley with us. That you would continue to give us the strength we need to keep going, even when we feel like we can't take another step. And Father, I pray that you'd help us in those moments where we feel angry towards you, that we might rechannel that anger. And instead of shouting at you in distress, that we would cry out to you, even in despair, and that our tears would be more of a louder prayer than our angry taunts. So, Lord, would you help us in our time of distress, in our time of difficulty? We recognize that there are times we feel angry towards you, but God, help us with that but God moment in our lives right now. May your will be done in each and every one of our hearts. May you touch each and every one here tonight that is struggling with something similar. Would you help us, Lord, to not be angry towards the one who has given us so much? And Father, we're thankful for all that you've done for us. We're thankful for your mercy, for your grace, and for your love. And we ask that you would just continue to help us through the difficulties that we face. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We stand and sing our last hymn together. Amen. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Amen.
we'll close this in a word of prayer. Thanks, guys. Good to argue, and it's not good to fight back, it's not good to push against the one who provided everything, the one who has given us all we could possibly need to sustain us, to keep us, and guide us.